Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, August 4th. And tonight we are talking with makeup artist and beauty blogger Ren Ren. But before we get to Ren, my sister Denise has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. In tonight's beauty news, we have the Professional Beauty Association, known as PBA. They're offering free webinars to students. Actually, to all professionals, whether they're students or newbie professionals in the beauty industry, Transition in Style from School to Salon, Monday, August 26, 2013, at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, and 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Excuse me, everyone. I just dropped my email. How about we move on to the next bit of news, and I can come back to that one. Kaya Wright is offering a class called Class in Cocktails. Styling with Kaya is a great opportunity for stylists to fine-tune their styling skills. They will learn how to style a super sleek look and then change it for super Hollywood chic. They will work one-on-one with Kaya to understand how she stays known as one of the best. Following the lesson is a fab networking cocktail hour where they will meet other stylists, exchange ideas, exchange contact information, and learn trade secrets. Kaya strongly encourages any stylist that's looking to go to the next level to attend this class. To master your craft, she says, you must always stay educated and hungry for innovation. The class and cocktail details are as follows. It takes place September 8th, 2013, at the Warren Tracomi LA Salon. And during that time, there will be two full styles covering the basics of styling because the details are what matters, one-on-one training with Kaya, meet-and-greet cocktail hour, and your unique and individual creative styling will be displayed using the Kaya Wright principles and techniques. And this investment only costs $250. And for more information on that, excuse me, you can visit kayawright.com/styling-2013. www.kiya-right. So let me spell that out for you. That's www.kiyaht.com/styling-wkiyaht-wright. And we will put that in the chat room for you as well as on our blog. And back to the Professional Beauty Association webinar. It takes place Monday, August 26th at 12 p.m. Wynn Claybaugh, Steve Gomez, and Damian Carney are joining forces to provide inspiration, motivation, and live education to beauty school students and new professionals during the 75-minute webinar. Join the Professional Beauty Association, PBA, for an unprecedented online event that will help you transition from school to salon and style. During this panel-based webinar, you will hear directly from these industry giants and learn how to get noticed in school and translate that into future opportunities, find your passion and avoid burnout, which is so important, create a resume and portfolio that stands above the rest, prepare for interviews with proven results, identify with salons, work environments, and job descriptions that are made for you. Ensure your first job is the beginning of an exciting and fulfilling career. And to register for that for this seminar, you can go to probeauty.org. And that's it for the news.
All right. Sounds good. I just wanted to remind everyone to get your background or find a quiet place. You're joining us tonight by phone if you call in with a question or a comment. And if you are calling in with a question or a comment, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And press the option to speak with the host, and we'll get you on with your question or comment. And you can also join us in the chat room as well, where my sister's niece will be bringing forward all the questions and comments from the chat room. So, again, our guest tonight is Ren Ren. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We are wonderful. Thank you for joining us tonight.
No problem.
Let's just jump into the conversation. Why don't you start by introducing yourself to our listeners and telling us a little bit about how you started as a makeup artist and then what led you to start your blog.
Great. Well, thank you for having me on. It's great to talk to you guys again, and I'm really excited to do this because I don't have a lot of opportunities to, you know, talk to my viewers live, so I really appreciate that. My name is Ren from Makeup by Ren Ren. So the name is a shortcut for my full name, Renolin. So that makes life a lot easier. But for some reason, I decided to do Makeup by Ren Ren when I actually don't go by Ren Ren. So it just kind of fell into place. I think I was trying to be cute and say, hey, call me Ren Ren. But now I'm stuck with it. So you can call me Ren or Ren Ren, whatever. But my journey started in 2007. So it was interesting because I actually started as a blogger before becoming a makeup artist. And it was actually a personal need. I am Filipino-American, and I know that back in the day, there weren't a lot of options for all women of color, and speaking on behalf of Asian women, it was really difficult. I would get my makeup done, and I was totally put into this Asian beauty box, which I was treated like, okay, you don't need to wear a lot of eyeliner because it makes your eyes look too small. You know, we want to just put very little makeup on you. Like, it was just like a box that I refused to be in. And then my need for just learning how to do makeup on myself brought me across the blogosphere. And I realized there were so many other women in my shoes who love makeup, and they were trying to learn and talk and chat about it. So in 2007, I ran across some different blog networks like Spectra.net and Asian Beauty Blog Network. And then I was like, you know what, I've always been one of those girls that did all their girlfriend's makeup and all that. So I decided to start my own blog in 2007. And it was just out of personal, you know, a personal hobby. On top of it, I was in corporate America. I'm still actually in corporate America. And I felt a creative need to replenish my soul and do something artistic, you know. So it was in 2007 that started. Then I started freelancing with the encouragement of my boyfriend about a year later. He said, why don't you do this on other people? And I was like, I was a little scared. And you know how it is when you first start. You know, it's always someone who pushes you forward. I'm so glad I did, because since then, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, from YouTube and blogging to traveling to the different trade shows and doing all these different makeup artist gigs, all while working full-time in like a 9-to-5 corporate job and blogging and then freelancing. So you can totally understand with that burnout that you're mentioning earlier. But I really do love it. So I'm glad to like share anything that you guys want to talk about or anything the callers want to talk about. It's like a real true passion of mine. But that's pretty much how I got started.
Well, you know, your story is interesting because I think you're the first that I've heard say that you just started off blogging and then you became a makeup artist. It's, you know, normally you hear people say, you know, that they're a makeup artist and then they started a blog.
Then
you also hear some makeup artists complain about, you know, there's all these bloggers. I've heard people say there's all these bloggers and, you know, they are, I've heard one makeup artist say that the bloggers are taking, I'm trying to remember how she put it. For instance, let's just use, for example, like, you know, like when you reach out to a PR for a particular brand for products, and she was speaking in regards to reaching out to PR for products for like a big shoot that she's working on for like a magazine or something. Versus, she says, you know, where the bloggers, by the time she gets to the PR person, you know, they're no longer giving out product because basically they've given them all to bloggers. What type of
criticism? That's a really interesting take.
Have you heard those type of things, or have you received, you know, criticism from other artists who aren't bloggers?
You know, I definitely can. I've heard that before, and I would say it is a valid opinion. There's a huge, like, there's a huge wave of new bloggers out there. That it's such a saturated market now. So there's makeup artists, there's beauty bloggers, makeup artists who are beauty bloggers. And when I started out, that's why I stuck in my category, because I didn't want to, you know, impersonate a professional makeup artist. But with tons of research and tons of education and encouragement from other, like, celebrity makeup artists like Sam Fine, who encourage women to make their path, and, you know, you don't necessarily have to go the conventional route of going to school, you know, makeup school or anything, but I did my research. I did serious research and education, and that's why I felt comfortable becoming a makeup artist. But there are a lot of individuals out there who just automatically put the term makeup artist in their title, you know, and I think that there are bad apples in the bunch who are overly enthusiastic, and they kind of give some of us a bad name. So, I mean, it's the truth, though. You know, like, sometimes as a blogger and a makeup artist, I will even get a whole ton of newbies asking me for product and all these things. I'm like, okay, you need to do your research. I'm not even selling anything. You know what I'm saying? So I think the key theme is that whatever you do, makeup artist, beauty blogger, you have to do your research and be professional about it. But I do think that there's a space for everyone. And you know, the whole industry is changing and evolutionizing. So the most successful makeup artists are ones that are capitalizing on the social beauty trends and taking advantage of it to further their career. And it's been a blessing, I would say. It's a blessing for everybody who does it in the right way. So, you know, I think there's room for everybody, and I try not to get involved in drama,
right.
You know, in the space. I think that's really important. But I think if you're a makeup artist, you need to be realistic about your capabilities and really put the time and education into it before you just slap the title on. Do you think you agree?
Absolutely. Now, you said something that I wanted, was pretty much one of the questions I wanted to ask, and that was, how do you believe blogging has changed the landscape of beauty? And then also the same thing for social media. How has blogging and social media changed the landscape of the beauty industry?
Wow, that's a big question. I mean, I think it's totally turned it upside down and the old rules don't apply anymore. It's definitely expanded the beauty industry to the common people, the everyday women, whereas before, you know, like it was all celebrity models and spokespeople. And I think even before, you know, like, you know, it's all supermodels, I think bloggers are now the faces of products. And now makeup artists are celebrity makeup artists, and they're also the face of products, which we were always in the background before. So social media really gave everyone a voice, you know, and if you take advantage of that, you can really have so many more opportunities. It's really an organic grassroots effort for all of us bloggers and makeup artists who are now welcomed into, you know, corporate brands and opportunities. So social media is like the poor person's opportunity to make it. Just like how on YouTube, anybody and everybody can become the next sensation. Done right, combining, you know, hard work and talent together with social media can really take a makeup artist and a blogger to the next level. And starting out, I got all of my gigs from YouTube. So that was such a blessing. And, you know, as a makeup artist, I have a lot of people coming up to me like, how do you get gigs? Like, that's like, how do you get your name out there? How did you get your name out there before? It was a lot of, like, hitting the pavement and a lot of like, hard work. And now you can be smart about it and reach a huger audience than before.
Right. I mean, it's just basically a new day, you know. Things are just done differently with social media, because now all you need to have is, like, a smartphone with a data plan or, you know, internet connection at home. That's it.
And people are even filming videos and vlogs, tutorials on their phones.
Right.
So really, truly, you only need a phone and, like, you know, a little bit of extra time and definitely motivation. Because one of the things that I do find for bloggers is that a lot of people want to be a blogger. Some for different, you know, we all have our different reasons. But I think there's that select few that make it to a certain level. You know, because you have to really, it's really a lot of work. And a lot of people see the rewards of, like, the free products and, you know, going to events. But it's a lot of work, as you ladies know, you know, consistency and putting your time in there. So.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about something that totally has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I thought about it. I remembered seeing some posts about it, but I, you know, never heard anything else about it. Tell us a little bit about the event in Charlotte.
Oh, great. Yep. So Charlotte, I had a, it was like a two-parter. I was invited to do a meet and greet there as well as a photo shoot. So I don't know if everyone knows this, but one of the huge opportunities that came my way as a blogger was I got to design a brush line for an online company called Sedona Lace. And it just came out of nowhere, and it came from me as a blogger, you know, altruistically giving time to this small company that started out. And I would help them along the way, saying, you know, you should really add a sifter to this jar, or, yeah, I think that it would be great if you, you know, put this there and that there. And these are the things that women want, and women and men both want in their products. So that was like 3 years ago, and since then I've had this really successful professional brush line that I created, knowing, like, after trying out probably thousands of different brushes. And so it culminated into this weekend where I went to Charlotte, and we had it was a winner for the Sedona Lace model contest. And, you know, having designed the line and being intimately involved with the company, I was able to do a photo shoot with them and then also combine it with a meet and greet because the model who won, incidentally enough, was also a YouTuber. So it just kind of worked out that way. And she also got the opportunity to win this model contest because she's just a face, a beautiful face that people recognize on the internet. And that was it, you know, she got her break that way as well. So it was a really awesome weekend. And I combined my YouTube side with my makeup artist side when I did a photo shoot, which hopefully the pictures will be up soon. So I'm really excited for that to come out.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, what's one of your goals? Because I know that you were involved with the AJ Crimson event in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is where you're based out of, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're invited to those, you know, like meet and greets and blogger events, what's your purpose in attending?
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, you know, that is it's a process and it's a journey. And I will say that as a, you know, starting out as a beauty blogger, you really want to evolve. And, you know, like you start out writing posts for fun and then you start, you know, getting products to review, which is awesome. And then you start doing events and sponsorships. And the point is you just want to continue to move forward. As a blogger, mm-hmm. I started, what happened actually, let me take a step back. So in the last 6 months, I actually got my MBA. So it was a little bit of a gap. There was like a two-year gap there where I was working full-time, getting my master's in blogging and doing freelance. So it was really crazy. But my MBA gave me the opportunity to turn blogging into a legit business. So now, as a blogger, I'm thinking about doing events to increase my networks and, you know, possible opportunities and turning a blog instead of just a channel to do review products and do tutorials, turning it into a brand. So that's my ultimate goal because then as a brand and as a business, you know, there are so many more opportunities that can come from it in the future. And that's the way you have to think of if you're really trying to do blogging as a business. So when I did this event with AJ Crimson, it was really cool because just being in the trade show circuit, like the makeup show, I was able to meet all these amazing celebrity makeup artists who over time and just getting to know each other more on social media, we'd meet in person and talk on social media, you know, we were able to build upon each other's networks because he's a celebrity makeup artist. And I'm a blogger, and we combine forces to create this really cool event. So my intent is to work with others, and we're all bringing each other up, exposing each other to different audiences. And from that opportunity, you know, I met so many new people, and now I'm having the ability to do my own makeup classes. So he had an event that I hosted for him, you know, and it was completely for me to just help out and for us to expose our own networks to each other. But from there, I have opportunities to host makeup classes, and I met all these great people. So you think you're, you know, as a, you know, doing things, like you're like, what should I really put my time and effort into that, you know? And it was completely like, you know, a not-for-profit event. But things come from it, you know what I mean? And you have to just put, you have to grind it out in order to get somewhere. And I truly believe that helping each other, you know, get something for everyone. So I know that it was also for him, me introducing him to that makeup studio. Now his product line is carried at that studio. So it's just like it was a win-win for everybody. And we didn't know what that was going to come from it, but it was just really great.
Right. And that's for those who don't know, that's Blush Baby Studio in Atlanta.
Yes, Blush Baby ATL Studio, and they actually are, they're a makeup studio, but they also have products there. So they have OCC, which is like a huge obsessive compulsive cosmetics, and now the AJ Crimson line, and they also do services there. But it's a really great venue for hosting different events. So, you know, we all are helping each other, like I said, and it was like 6 degrees of separation because they actually knew AJ in a past lifetime as a makeup artist on the grind. And so we all just kind of brought each other back together. So it was just really great.
Absolutely. Now, you're doing all this stuff, and you talked about being to have a corporate job. How do you balance it all?
You know, it really is about extreme motivation combined with organization and just really a lot of hard work. I mean, there are times where I come home from my 9 to 5 and then I'll go do a blogger event. And then at 11 p.m., I'm like, all right, time to start editing videos, you know. But it really is the love behind it that it's okay. I don't mind, you know, working these extra hours. And I think you guys totally understand, like, it's because you love it. So when you find something that you love, you don't mind putting those hours in. Sure, there are times where I get a little burnt out, and I do believe, like, I totally believe in working and playing hard, and I will take my vacation and turn off, turn my phones off, and just, like, spend time with friends and family. But really, like, the balancing act is learning how to, like, bottom line, you have to prep posts and videos in advance. And, you can't be a procrastinating blogger, I can tell you that. You have to be very organized.
Well, speaking of blogging, you know, YouTube, of course, is big for bloggers.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
let's talk a little bit. Okay, so you have YouTube, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, and then, you know, some people have their, you know, you have, like, for instance, you have www.makeupbyrenren. Some people just uh-huh. have that type of blog alone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people now who have made it. They're, like, big bloggers with these large followings just on Instagram. Let's talk a little bit about how blogging kind of started and where it is right now. Like, you know, when you had a blog, just go to a website and there's a blog. You know, you have a post, there are words, there may be pictures, there are videos. You go to YouTube, it's just a video. Now Instagram, it's just pictures.
Wow, yeah.
Are people now getting to the point now where they don't want to read, they just want to look at a video or look at a picture?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. Like, it is becoming a little bit redundant now that you mention it, because everybody has the same capabilities. And I just feel that as, like, a blogger, to be truly successful and to make sure you reach all your markets, you know, it is helpful to be on everything, YouTube, blog, Instagram, and Twitter. You know, I would say those to me and Facebook, like, all of those are all linked together anyways. So you can just have, like, apps that you can do one post and it hits everything. So
mm-hmm.
I will say I know for a fact that some people are Facebook people and some people only are Instagram. So I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, I'm going to hit all those networks and make sure I don't miss anybody. But I will say
mm-hmm.
that it's so crazy to see how some people are just Instagrammers and they get, you know, they get all their opportunities just from Instagram. And it's like
mm-hmm.
on a whole nother beast. But you know what I do find is that personally, corporate sponsors and companies who want products, they like seeing an actual review on a blog or a YouTube channel because you can actually get more, into detail than, like, a 15-second Instagram video or a quick post. So that is something a bit to think about as a blogger because you can really gain credibility by doing intelligent, in-depth reviews on your blog and YouTube. And then people just like to connect with you, you know. They want to, they can really see your face on YouTube and they feel like, you know, you're a regular presence in their lives. So, like,
mm-hmm.
I think there's definitely benefits to all of them. And I actually jumped on the Instagram bandwagon late because I was an Android user. So all the iPhoners, like, have these huge followings. I'm like, oh, man, I was late to the game. But I am glad that I joined Instagram this year because just from that alone, I've been exposed to all these, like, amazing artists that I never saw before and I never knew about because they weren't in the YouTube and blog space. So it's
right.
really cool. Just, like, some people are just, like, they might be in their own different network, but to really benefit, I would say, comprehensively, just do it all. Just do it all. And hopefully, like, if you do have a niche, you know, stick with at least doing one thing really well. Don't spread yourself too thin where you can't do everything. But again, it's about time management. And some people will just like plan out, I know, like their YouTube and blog schedule, and then they will be more of like a regular contact on Instagram and Twitter, you know, as like more of a day-to-day kind of contact with their audience. So that's a way to think about actually being on all of those like regularly, because there's nothing worse for a blogger than being inconsistent and being MIA, because I've seen it firsthand. Like, you'll lose your audience like if you go out for 6 months to a year. And that's just like, it's sad because it's like, you know, you put all that time in, but consistency is key.
Absolutely. I just want to remind everyone that's listening, the call-in number, if you have a question or a comment, is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. I also invite any bloggers out there, doesn't matter what type of blog you have, but any bloggers out there to kind of chime in on this discussion about blogging. Ren, where do you see blogging going, like the future of blogging? Where do you see that going?
Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, I wonder if this YouTube bubble is going to pop. You know what I mean? Like, it's been going really strong for, I would say, at least the last 7 years, you know, successfully.
Right.
I think beauty bloggers and bloggers in general are going from one-man machine into, you know, an like actual talent that needs to be managed. So you'll see that more now that some bloggers and YouTubers are getting represented. And now that companies like, you know, large retail, cosmetic and fashion and all that companies are getting involved also in the blog scene, it really is taking it to another level. So instead of it just being more of like an independent kind of one-man operation, it's turning into like team efforts. Like, you'll see some YouTubers who have their own cameramen, their editors and directors, and it really is becoming a full-scale business. So I think, like, we just have to keep evolving with it, and hopefully, you know, all of us will be able to really work and blog full time, like, and that will be it, because a lot of us are, you know, we can't just live off of our blog revenue. It's only that select few, but it's becoming a real valid, it's almost like an online magazine of sorts for people. So I hope that bloggers can really, more so than that select few, more of us can make careers out of it and get more involved with the larger companies that can help us sustain, you know, because right now, like, it's really a top select few. Like, it's a popular crowd, you know, that gets all the opportunities, and hopefully more of us can make it to that level.
But what do you think about, like, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what do you think about, like, now you have Keek, you have Vine, you have the Instagram video. Do you think it's important for bloggers to have like all of that, or just choose one? You know what I mean? Because you have some followers who probably get Vine, some followers who probably have Keek, some that have both, some that have Instagram videos, some that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is an overload of just
a
lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I will say, like, personally, I'm just going to stick with Instagram, Keek, and Vine. I've heard people, as soon as Instagram got that video option, I've heard tons of people say, oh, well, bye-bye, Keek and Vine. You know what I mean? And it's like, those who were rather new and on their own, and it's just the fickle nature of technology, you know? Like, MySpace.com kind of thing, you know? But you have to really have a pulse on what the audience is feeling. And I think the audience is feeling Instagram. And you've got to move with it. You've got to roll with it, because you can't be stale and just fall off. And I do think having Instagram is probably, like, necessary nowadays. And I think some people just, you know, they don't have time for everything. But, like, if you really have some kind of consistency with an audience so that they have expectations of you, you know what I mean? Then I think you could do it. Like, if you decide to post on Instagram once a day, or, you know, post maybe, like, every other day, to at least keep some kind of consistency so that way your audience isn't, you know, like, oh, she fell off, or I'm going to stop following her, I'm going to unfollow. But I don't think you need to be on all three, personally. Like, I just think that's a little bit of, that's over redundant. And like I said, you're going to spread yourself too thin where your audience is missing out.
Right.
Absolutely. Who are some of your favorite bloggers?
Oh, there's so many. You know, when I first started, I had this, like, on my blog, I had this roll of, like, 50 bloggers, and I would literally read all of their blogs, like, every single day. And those are the people that I credit to, you know, teaching me about the industry and makeup and how to apply it. And there are some standouts to me, and I don't want to just pick the big, you know, like, the top ones, because I think everybody appreciates them, you know, and everybody knows about them. But there are some, you know, there are some smaller, hard, like, real quality little bloggers that I think need to be heard too. But it's just so hard because it's so saturated. But I will say one of the top bloggers that I think that she really took blogging to the next level is Temptalia. And I do aspire to be, like, take my blog to that level one day. Do you know Christine from Temptalia?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Like, amazing, right? But then there are smaller bloggers, you know, who have their little niche. For example, Maddieology, you might know her from the Atlanta scene. I mean, she has a really great audience, not on the level of Temptalia, but, like, she's just so, like, her fashion style is on point, and, you know, her production is really amazing. And then another blogger, like, for example, from Canada. Her name is Soculum. Again, these are smaller bloggers, but they need to get some shine, too. And that's why I like when, like, sometimes YouTubers will have, like, shout-outs to other up-and-coming artists and bloggers, because then they can really get some of their names out there. And I think that might be, like, a really cool thing to do with, you know, with you guys, too, is just to feature some of the smaller people who have a great talent and a great voice, too, because, you know, we all have, the top 10, like, popular bloggers and YouTubers, but I will say that even myself, I don't have such as huge an audience as some of the others, but, like, the little people need some shine, too, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely. Now, who inspires you as a makeup artist?
Oh, man. You know, I watched that Sam Fine interview, or I listened to it on your show. I listened to it a couple of times, and Sam Fine is my hero. I just think he's an amazing person. He's down to earth. He's a great teacher, and he's a great inspiration. So I think all of us can agree, Sam Fine, like, high five to him. I love Billy B, Kevin O'Quinn. I think everybody has his books and remembers him. He was great. AJ Crimson. I recently got to know Eugenia Weston from Senna Cosmetics. Mm-hmm. That is one of my, like, favorite brands now. I think she's amazing. And it's really interesting to meet makeup artists who have gone into other revenue streams and channels, because those are the ones that you really need to take a look at and see, like, you know, what can I do? Like, how can I be successful like them? Because they have evolved, and they're the ones who have lasted. They have longevity for a reason. Like, KJ Bennett, like, his InMyKit.com website, wow. Like, that's how I started my kit.
Right.
And the fact that they gave back to people, that's why they're so popular, because they give back and they really, like, touch their audiences personally.
Right.
What are some of your favorite celebrity makeup artist inspirations?
Oh, wow.
Well, of course, Kevin.
Kevin,
be my favorite.
You just said.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking notes.
Taking notes.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know why I cannot remember this guy's first name, but he's deceased. But his last name is Star. Was Star?
Paul Star.
I can never remember his first name.
Oh.
But Paul Star.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh wow.
Awesome. If you know who Sharon Galt is or follow Sharon Galt, she was a really good friend to Paul Starr. He was an excellent makeup artist.
See, that is something new, and I'm going to totally look into that. And now, like, you've exposed me to a whole other, you know, a whole other area, and I'm Googling him as we speak.
Okay.
So that's awesome.
For film work, I've always admired V. Neal. Oh, gosh. I'm going blank tonight. All because you asked me. Now I can't think of anybody.
Did I turn around?
Right.
Dick Smith.
Yes. Another guy who won several Oscars. I can see his face. Gosh.
Rick Baker.
Thank you.
Rick, I know who she's Rick. Saying. You know, you can tell we're twins because I'm just reading her mind right now.
Yes.
Rick Baker.
You know, people who are in the industry who, like, actually get stars on the Walk of Fame, that's when it's, like, crazy, right? Like,
Definitely.
People really, like, it's amazing how the industry is really appreciating makeup artists and, you know, giving them the recognition that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to? I have a really interesting story, which is like really cool. Speaking of like inspirational makeup artists, so I went to the Chicago makeup show recently, and I was invited to this event for Alcone because I'm working on a project with them, and it was so cool. Like I totally had like a freak out moment because we were on this amazing penthouse party, and like all of my like I was geeking out to all of these people who were there who were. Like the founders of like the companies that I love and reviewed and, you know, bought and obsessed over. And one of them was the Cinema Secrets president, Maurice Stein.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just chatting it up and I was just talking and I don't know how we got on the topic, but we were talking about the movie. And I was the movie Argo. And I was like, have you ever seen the movie Argo? And I was like, because, you know, it has the makeup artist in there, and he helped them do the espionage. And he was like, oh, yeah, that was my boss. And that was all my stuff on the table. And I was like, are you serious? So it was just so, like, cool. And it was like history in the making. And it was,
right.
I just, like, get so, like, I get, like, so, like magic tingles from, like, things like that. You know what I mean? And he's been around.
Yeah, for a long time.
And such a cool guy, such a cool down-to-earth guy.
But you know what, though? I feel like, especially when it comes to makeup artists who work in film and television, you don't know who they are if you don't read the credits. You don't know who they are. If you're not in that area of makeup, a lot of times you don't know who they are. And so... when you say when you met Maurice Stein, you know, if you had any type of feeling about it that excited you, I think that's a great thing because the artists that you see that you know their names because they work on the runways, they have their names in magazines all the time, you know, they work in music or whatever, you hear them more often. But the ones that work on film and television, a lot of times you don't hear about them at all. So I think hear that, you know, because if you get excited about somebody like that you really don't hear their name, that's a great thing.
You know, and I am one of those people that will watch the entire credits, and I look for the makeup artist. I'm like, oh, I don't even know who they are, and I know that they're awesome because they did that movie. But thank goodness for, like, Makeup Artist Magazine and the trade shows that are putting more of them in the limelight on panels because they deserve it, and they are such a wealth of information, you know. And you're right. We don't know them because they are the ones who are working behind the scenes for hours and hours and hours, and you never see them.
Right.
And, you know, AJ Crimson, he was saying when he first started, like, that's how he got his break. On movies with 8 Mile. Who would have known?
Right.
Yeah, so, but have you guys ever done makeup for movies and film?
That's what we do.
Awesome. Oh my, how is that? Is it like exhausting? Like I could just imagine.
That it is. It's exhausting.
Wow, that would be a really cool, like, in the life video. If you guys ever want to do a vlog, just let me know. I am so down.
Because it's so different from, like, if you were just doing a regular photo shoot or, you know, like, a photo shoot could last up to 8 hours, you know, depending on how many people you were doing or whatever. Or, you know, it's just so different from, like a live production, like let's say you're doing a fashion show or even, you know, if you're doing like a play or something, you know, after a couple of hours, it's done, it's over with. Well, it could take a couple of hours just to do the makeup for the, you know, the cast of the movie or the television show for that particular day, you know. So where if your fashion show is over within a couple of hours or your you know, like your play or whatever you're doing, Broadway production, it's, you know, it's over in a couple of hours. This, you know, you do the makeup and then you go to set, you shoot, and then you take a break for lunch, and then you come back and you shoot again. And it's like, and throughout that whole process, you know, you're touching up the makeup. So it's a whole process that lasts anywhere from 12 to 24 hours. And that's just
that's the true test of the love of the industry. Like, if you can put, like, all the people who say they want to be makeup artists, you put them under those conditions, that would be a true test right there. Because
Exactly. That's the test, because there are a lot of people out there who say they want it, but they don't really know what they're saying that they want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if everybody had the opportunity to do that, I mean, really do it, not do it on a show that they love to watch on TV or, you know, a movie that they saw where it was like all this beauty makeup and it was so glamorous. Not do a day on those type of shows, but do a day on the shows, you know, the gritty, the dirty shows, the shows where, you know, nobody's like really made up, you know, this pretty makeup, pretty colors. You know, people are dirty, people are grimy, you know, where you're out in the sun all day. Or let's just say Walking Dead, for instance, where you're out in the, you know, you're out in the woods all day.
In the wilderness.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, anywhere from 98 to 105 degrees, and you're working out in the woods, and you know, everybody's dirty and grimy, and they're sweaty. And, you know, and here you are, you're in the woods, and, you know, everybody's worried about ticks and you know, other things getting on them, you know, and you work anywhere from 12 to 24 hours a day out there in the woods with all of this going on. Then you tell me if this is what you want to do.
Hey, I speak it, sister, because, like, I truly have mad respect for you guys, and I think that, you know, that's, like I said, if you must, you got to really love it to be in those conditions. And the new makeup artists are super cute all the time, and they've got their Instagram pictures all dolled up, but it's not always about you doing selfies. You know, you are a makeup artist.
Right.
Doing makeup for other people. You know, and that's
right.
The difference between a lot of the makeup artists on, like, Instagram and YouTube. They're just doing makeup on themselves. Completely different than doing it on another person in those conditions.
True. I mean, and to me, I think what makes a makeup artist who doesn't do, like, a lot of blogging, for instance, what's so special about them and what sets them apart, I think, from someone who just blogs about makeup that they're doing on themselves is they have the opportunity to touch different people, to, you know, to do makeup on different skin tones and in different skin conditions. And I think that's what makes what you say more believable to me as a person opposed to someone who's just doing it on themselves. Not that they don't know what they're talking about or anything like that, but for me, it just makes more sense for me, because if, you know, let's just say you're using a new foundation or a new lipstick or a new eyeshadow, and you're talking about how great it is and you're demonstrating it on yourself. Yes, it's beautiful on you, but I can't relate to it.
Exactly.
Because it's not going to look the same on me.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people, like, even, like, doing makeup in different conditions, like you said, that's something I didn't even think about. Because it's like, Yeah. You know, like, there's a difference between wearing it for a couple hours in a tutorial than, you know, being outside and conditions and
right.
all that.
And that's the thing. And so as a film or television artist, that's something you have to think about is how long is this product going to last? And although, you know, there are tons of products out there where people say, oh, you know, you use this primer and your eyeshadow will stay on all day. Well, what's all day? Is that 8 hours? Or is that 18 hours? You know what I mean? And but you know, I like to see bloggers who put information out there where they're, you know, they're actually telling the truth about a product. Okay, they said it would last up to 8 hours, but I wore it, you know, for 12 hours and it's still on. Or I wore it for 6 hours and, you know, it started to come off, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and it's hard as a blogger too, man. That's one of the things I've really struggled with at first was giving negative reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like tricky. It's really tricky to do it the right way.
Right.
Because I've done it. I went completely, for example, I would be completely honest and like I would have like angry companies where I had
mm-hmm.
to pull down reviews and videos. So you have to be a PC about it, but like truly honest to maintain credibility. And because
mm-hmm.
that's the one, you know, you go through different, I think, stages. Like, you want to make everybody happy, and then your audience gets mad, and you want to be completely honest, but then it's like, this is still a business, and I need to maintain my professional relationships. So
right.
that's one of the hardest parts about being a blogger, and to the point where now I turn down a lot of reviews, just because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't even want to review that, because I know. I'm just going to save
yeah.
the grief now. Do you guys
yeah.
ever, like, feel like, do you feel like that the guilt a little bit from like, oh, sorry, your product's not that great? And like, how do you handle it?
You know, the thing, this is how I handle it, to be honest with you.
I'm interested to know. Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah, now, when I get a product from, you know, when I get a product from a company and it's not that great, then
mm-hmm.
I'll use it, you know, in every movie or television show, there's always background people. I will always use that product on the background people.
Oh.
Because on the background people, you don't really have to see that they have on blue eyeshadow or green eyeshadow. And, you know, as long as they have on something when the camera passes them, it's okay
mm-hmm.
because the camera is not going to focus on them because they're background actors, you know. It's not the camera, it's not all about them. So that's what I do. I just use it on them, and it works fine. It doesn't, if something doesn't have a lot of pigment, it's okay. It doesn't need to have a lot
mm-hmm.
of pigment. Now, I don't want these background people to hear me say this and think, oh, man, you know, that, you know. That
no, I mean,
not,
that's so
that's,
true.
But because they are, but the thing is, there's, you know, proper use for every product. Nothing gets wasted, trust me. Nothing gets thrown away, but that's what you use it for. And then you know, your, let's say, the more expensive brands or the more pigmented brands, you use them, you know, on your actors.
Mm-hmm. That's really great advice, you know, and I think that, in general, people, you know, want, some people just want super, super pigmented products, but, like, the everyday woman, not necessarily. You know, and that
exactly.
is something to keep in mind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. There may be an actress who doesn't like makeup. Like, there's a movie coming out. I'll just go ahead and plug the movie called The Spectacular Now that stars Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller. And I believe it came out this weekend. If not this weekend, next weekend. That we actually shot the movie here in Georgia, but it was in Athens, Georgia last summer. And Shailene, and if anybody doesn't know who she is, she was the young girl who, she was in the movie with George Clooney a couple of years back. She played his daughter.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the name is escaping me. Anyway, she likes everything natural. She doesn't really like makeup. Like, she'll wear makeup. When she's on the red carpet, she doesn't like to be, like, she really doesn't like makeup at all on the red carpet. She wants to go, you know, go to these premieres and things like that as natural as possible. So that's an actress that you can use some of the brands that are not as lovely as you would like them to be. That's someone that you can actually use those types of products on. Doesn't have much pigment. She doesn't like to see a lot of color on her face. So there you go. If you have to, if you thought you really wanted to try it on an actress, she would be that actress because she really likes to wear nothing. So that's probably.
And you know what? This is kind of off to the side a little bit, but I'm just in here thinking about being at Fame Expo and going to just walking around and stopping by like the City Color Cosmetics. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if you're familiar with them, Ren, but City Color Cosmetics. I love their products. They remind me in some ways of like NYX, where the products are really reasonable when it comes to price. But you know, like if sometimes if you're on these movie sets and you have certain celebrities sitting in your chair, and they see some of these brands that you can get from, you know, like Walgreens or, you know, I don't want to call them, okay, let's just say like the cheaper brands. You could get some of these cheaper brands. And I think one of the good ways, I mean, hopefully they're not listening, but a good way to hide them, because, you know, sometimes they like to see fancy packaging, like they like to see certain, you know, names. You know, like mm-hmm. if you have a Chanel lipstick, you know, or if you have a NARS blush or something like that, they feel comfortable. But if you put, like, NYX on the counter, you know, they may not feel as comfortable. So, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about, like, you know, you have all these fancy palettes now. You have your Z palettes, your Stick With It palette, your this palette, your that palette. Just depart some of these things and put them in palettes, and they don't know any different. You know, and then you have a product that's kind of being disguised, because even though it's cheaper, it's still good. You know, you were mentioning like the pigment. You know, just because some of these brands don't cost a whole lot of money, they still have really good products with a lot of pigment.
That's true. That's true.
Just a little trick. Did we lose Ren? Is she still there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can hear you now. I couldn't hear
great.
You.
I did lose you for a second. I got too excited.
Okay. Did you hear what I was saying?
I heard your tricks, though. Those are such good ideas. And I know there are some products like that, you know, a lot of us use are not meant for makeup, like Milk of Magnesia is a primer. And we'll just mm-hmm. put them in another bottle with primer as a label. And, mm-hmm. you know, no one has to know. As long as you know that it works and it does the job.
The one thing I will have to say about the Milk of Magnesia as a primer, because someone first told me about that. I think it was back in, like, 2002. And I used it on someone that had really oily skin. Now, the thing about Milk of Magnesia, have you ever tried it on yourself, Ren?
I actually have not. I've just seen other YouTubers and artists use it.
Yeah. If you ever try it on yourself before you try it on anyone else. But it will tighten the skin up. So it has a tightening effect. And so you might want to be very careful when trying that, because some people just may not like it.
Yeah, they don't want to feel uncomfortable and they'll freak out.
Yeah, especially being that you're putting that on and then you're going to put the foundation on and you're nowhere near finished the whole makeup. So it might be a little, especially if you're doing a video or something, it may be okay. They may, you know, not feel too bad about it because it may not be on their face for too long, but there's a tightening mm-hmm. effect and some people may get a little uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's another product that kind of got the same thing. It's Nairon No Sweat. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, yes, I have.
that same sensation, but that really does work. Okay.
Yeah.
Really well.
And that's the thing. It works. The milk of magnesia, I mean, it's great. It works very well.
Now, maybe makeup newbies, like, or when you're doing makeup on clients, you don't, like, wear a lot of makeup or they're kind of scared. That's definitely something I put for the next one. Who, like, you know, because our clients are like, put anything on me, do it. Yeah, go for it. But for, like, for some of the grandmas out there sitting in your chair.
Yeah. especially, like, some of the actresses, because they're just funny about a lot of stuff. So if you're ever, you know, working with an actress or a celebrity or something and you're going to do something like that, just make sure you let them know beforehand that you're going to do it and just, you know, make sure it's okay with them. Maybe test it on their hand. And then there may be some actresses who don't care. And they're like, okay, go ahead, sure, do whatever you have to do, you know. But just, you know, be courteous and at least, you know, ask them if it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson in all makeups is the whole, you know, priming, like, in terms of speech and educating your clients on what you're using, because you don't want to be just one of those artists that slaps something on and doesn't explain anything, and they're like, what is that? And you're like, you didn't know they were allergic to this, or that doesn't match their skin type. Yeah, I think that's a big lesson for new makeup artists.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, Lynn, we have talked past our time tonight.
Yay.
So thankful
I learned
for the conversation.
It was great.
Oh, good.
Good.
We'll have to have
back
on.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get you back.
We'll chat offline, but I would have some ideas for you guys I'd love to do. Like I said, we stay doing stuff. I'd love to do more events with you guys. I think it would be great.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some ideas we could shoot past you. So we'll definitely keep in touch about it all. But I see that you're having problems on your phone line here. Are you back on?
I'm on.
Okay, yeah, I saw where it dropped you, and then you just, okay. It's going crazy.
Yeah,
now,
I think that means we have to wrap up, huh?
Exactly. But if you could give everyone, like, shout out your social media addresses so people know where to find you.
Okay, great. I'm actually Makeup by Ren Ren, R-E-N-R-E-N, on all of my social media networks. Easy enough.
Oh.
So just type Makeup by Ren Ren, and you're good to go.
All
that's
right.
Pretty
that's
easy.
Well, thank you again for joining us. We enjoyed having you, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Thank you so much, guys. Hope you have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
You
too.
Okay. Until next time.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye. For all of those who are out there who enjoyed tonight's conversation, please go out and mark it as a favorite right here on Blog Talk Radio and join us again next week where we'll be speaking with Christine Sandoval, and she's a licensed esthetician and a representative of a skincare line, Rodin and Field. So she'll be here, so get those skincare questions ready and join us right back here next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, be beautiful and blessed. Good night.
Good night.